Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's teleconference. This is Sales Team Training Part 2. And on the last call, we actually covered the design audit program in depth. And I had on as my guests Inner Circle member Dan Ginnity from Great Falls, Montana, and his two of his sales team members, Rose and Nicole. And they're joining me again today as we go into part two, which is the referral program. So, Dan, Rose, Nicole, welcome. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to go through this again. If you weren't on last week's, how we did this is basically we're doing a live training, and we're going to go through the entire referral program. And you can find the referral program in Module 4 of the Rapid Launch. And so let's go ahead and dive in. Most referrals are a happy accident, I call them. If you do a good job long enough, you're going to get people referred to your store. It's just going to happen. We have members that are anywhere from 60, some of them 90, even 100% repeat and referral driven. And again, if you're providing the kind of service that you should be, you're going to get some referrals. What we want to do is on purpose referral marketing. We actually want to turn it into something that happens day in, day out, that's part of your process, just like ordering the materials, ordering, scheduling the installation, following up after the installation. You want to do referrals the same way. Make them part of your company culture and have a system in place so it's done the same way over and over again. Now, let's do the math real quick on what it means if you have a referral program and put it in dollars and cents. Again, if you've got an average ticket of $3,000, and this was what we used last time, so we're just going to continue to use that, and plug in your own numbers. If it's more or less or whatever, doesn't matter. If you get one extra referral per week as a salesperson, that's an extra $150,000 plus in additional revenue each year. That's just one a week. Now, if that sounds too crazy, impossible, ridiculous, and it shouldn't, but if it does, cut it in half. Okay, you're at $75,000 in additional revenue every year. Okay? That additional revenue is not going to happen without you taking the time to master these concepts as I'm going to be explaining them today. So it's important. Dan Kennedy says little hinges swing big doors, and that is so true with the referral program. And I've had members who kind of follow it, and the results go down to virtually nothing. They'll change one little thing, and it turns out that's actually has big consequences. And we're going to get into that as we go along. So, Dan, right now, what would you estimate your revenue is from repeat and referral business? What percentage of your revenue comes from?
Well, I would say probably from, you know, in today's current market environment, it actually has become a little bit more important. I would say between repeat and referral is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 65%.
Yeah. Okay. And that is not uncommon if you've been in business for any length of time. I was just on the phone the other day with a new dealer, and they're a new member. They've been in business for a long time. And their referral, repeat and referral, he estimated at about 85%, but they were spending somewhere in the $40,000 a year range on advertising. and getting, you know, mediocre results at best, yet not doing any kind of referral or past client marketing. And so, of course, you know what I also what I say. You all know what I have to say about that is let's take some of that money and invest it into building up the part of your market that's you're getting the lion's share of your business from. Dan, tell us the difference when somebody comes in off of a referral versus off of a yellow page or just a cold walk-in. What's it like dealing with the referral versus the other kind?
Well, the referral, you're borrowing your credibility from the previous customer, and therefore, because you have that borrowed trust already, you don't have to work quite as difficult or as hard to build that trust factor, and therefore you pass up the resistance that you occasionally will find to be common within, say, just someone walking off the street and I'm Mrs. Sally Jones and I need some rug, and whereas a referral is going to give you, you know, the ability to walk in, have an immediate rapport almost because you have a common friend, and it's just completely different.
Rose, what's your take? Same question.
I find it's just a lot more comfortable. You're just instantly, just like your best friend. You just start the conversation. The whole process is smoother. It's just a little more streamlined. It probably happens, or you can close it quicker. So it's very enjoyable.
Okay. How about you, Nicole?
Well, I personally haven't had referrals. I haven't been here long enough. But for repeat people or just referrals to the store in general, it is easier. They usually come in kind of knowing what they want. They've researched a little bit, or they want the exact product somebody else had. So they have a little more information on it, so they trust my information, and like Rose said, it's you close quicker.
A lot of times what I've noticed with referrals is they're really in there. There is no selling. It's you've got the sale. They're just there to firm up the details.
Exactly.
So anytime you can bring somebody in that's pre-sold and do a marketing strategy that brings you pre-sold clients, it makes sense to do as much of that as you can. On a ready-to-buy scale of 1 to 10, what you want to do as salespeople is, and Dan, your job as store owner is to magnetically attract as many of these kinds of people as possible, is through your marketing, is you want to deal with people that are 8s, 9s, and 10s on the scale of ready to buy versus 1s, 2s, and 3s. Because with 1s, 2s, and 3s, you've got all the hard work of moving them up the scale to be 8s, 9s, and 10s. And that's kind of the epitome of the cold walk-in tire-kicking price shopper. Have you noticed, Rose, that it's just a lot more work with somebody? You just flat-out got to spend more time and energy with them?
Oh, absolutely. You're to square one, it's, you know, carpet or vinyl 101, and then they need time to digest that, and then they need time to, you know, I'd like to have an 8 or a 9, yes.
So that's what the referral program is all about, and that's something that you as salespeople, Rose and Nicole, have control over. You have control over how many referrals you get, and the referral program puts that control in your hands. So if you've got for the referral program to work, and we're going to go through the referral request form for everybody listening, that's one of the tools that we use to generate referrals. Now, all of this being able to get referrals on a regular basis, we're assuming a couple of things. One is that you're providing outstanding service, and two, you're doing it consistently. Okay, those prerequisites need to be in place. It doesn't matter how good of a referral system you have if you're ticking off your clients, okay, providing inconsistent service. And another thing that we've added to the, you know, it's part of the program for anybody that's new, is the reticular activator campaign. And that takes place during the whole installation process. When somebody has given you the deposit or paid for their flooring, you know, they're pulling the trigger on moving forward. Well, depending on how long it takes to get the product in, their schedule for having the installation done, it can take anywhere from a week to 4 weeks and maybe even longer before the process is finished. So we have the four-step reticular activator campaign that goes out during that time, and it's all about planting referral seeds. And the testimonials that you're using in your marketing, the testimonial brag wall, the testimonial portfolio, we talked about that last week in the design audit, is all that's working together to plant those referral seeds. It lets people know that you'd prefer to work by referrals. And it lets them know that it's standard and customary. You don't want to make asking for referrals seem like some awkward, oddball thing. No, that's just the way we do it here at our at GT Flooring. So, when you do the referral program, the way to make it work best is with a follow-up visit. And this gets into one of the biggest mistakes that I see affecting the outcome. We've had so many members who either before or after joining the Inner Circle Club have mailed out referral request forms, or they'll drop it off and ask people to mail it back. And what I tell them is you're going to be waiting till the next ice age to get those back. People just don't do it. Yeah, you'll get a couple. Every now and then you'll get one. But for this to really have the impact that you need, that you're looking for, again, to make that extra $150,000 a year plus an additional revenue, well, you're going to need to do the in-home visit. Rose, Nicole, do you do, at this point, do you do in-home visits after the installation?
No, I haven't.
No, I haven't.
Okay. And one of the biggest objections I hear is time. Okay, we don't have time to do it. Or, and mainly that comes from not really grasping that this isn't something that is just an add-on customer service thing that just eats up your time. This is a profit center. This is a way for you to generate ongoing revenue. And we'll get back to that in a minute. So first thing, don't mail out the referral forms. Do it in person. Second thing is when you arrive, assuming you're doing the in-home visit, bring them the gift basket. We have in the Rapid Launch the movie-themed gift basket. It's a great, you know, gift to bring in as a surprise. Don't tell them about it. When you do the follow-up visit, when your project coordinator schedules the follow-up visit, you want to say, again, make it standard and customary. Okay, Mrs. Jones, the installation is complete. The next thing we need to do is go ahead and schedule your follow-up visit with Rose. And she's got an opening on Tuesday at 4 or Thursday at 5. Which would work better for you? So it's standard and customary. It's just part of the process. And again, the majority of them will let you do that. So you're going to show up with a gift basket, and that's going to, a couple reasons for doing that is they're not expecting it. It's going to set you apart from any other flooring dealer, And most importantly is it's going to create the law of reciprocity. It's going to make them feel like they want to do something for you in return. And I call that good guilt. This is above and beyond anything that you promised them. We talk about doing that at the beginning of the design audit process, you know, giving them handing them a laminated beverage menu and saying, would you like a Pepsi, Coke, coffee, tea, and giving them something because it makes them feel indebted to you. And I won't go into the whole science behind it, but studies have been done over and over again showing that giving somebody just a simple gift makes them want to reciprocate. It's just the way it is in Western society. Okay, so you give them the gift and you do the walkthrough, you know, make sure everything about the flooring is just right, is why you're there. You resell her on the great decision to purchase new floors. Now it's time for the referral program to introduce this, and you say something like this: Mrs. Jones, can we sit down for a quick minute so I can tell you about our referral reward program? And by doing that, by asking her to sit down, this demonstrates to her that you take this seriously. Don't treat it as an oh by the way kind of thing, because they'll take it as seriously as you do. So I like to sit down with them. And then sit down at the kitchen table or on the sofa, what have you, and have the form between you. And this is important so that you're both able to look at it. I say it's like sharing a hymnal in church. You're both looking at it, okay? And then I simply read it to them. And it goes something like this. I'm going to go ahead and walk through it. Okay, Mrs. Jones, what I want to do is tell you about our referral reward program. Can we sit down for a quick minute so I can do that? And then you sort of sit down and you say, what I want to tell you about is how you can give your friends and relatives a free gift and get a night out at the movies, my treat. As you probably know, advertising is very expensive. So instead of paying for the newspaper or other place to advertise, I'd rather reward you. So we put together our referral rewards program, and every time you refer someone who becomes a client, I'm going to send you a gift certificate for 2 passes to the Movies 8 Cinema, plus it'll cover popcorn, sodas, the whole bit. Plus, your friends are going to get a $200 gift certificate from you. So every person that you refer, we're going to go ahead and send them a gift certificate in your name. And you're going to be doing your friends a huge favor by referring them to a company that they can trust. And so what you want to do right now is fill out the blanks on the back of this form. And if you fill out all 10 names and addresses, and as I'm saying this, I'm turning it over and showing them, you're going to get $25 worth of GT flooring bucks, and you can use these just like cash next time you purchase, you know, spotter or flooring or anything. Now, if you're not looking at the referral request form, on the front is also a little box that says, look at this, special thanks to all who referred us. And you put on just a big list of people who have sent you referrals. That way they see that this is standard and customary, that it's just something that, hey, everybody does it. You want to make them very comfortable with it. And you can make the gift dinner for two for every referral that they send. It doesn't have to be movies, you know, but you want to make it something that's universal and that most people are going to like. If they fill out all 10 names, you can, again, do the $25 worth of, you know, GT flooring bucks, or you can actually have a $5 gift card for Starbucks and say, by the way, I have a bonus reward for you. If you fill out all 10 names and addresses and on the back here, I've got a gift card for Starbucks I'll give to you before I go. And you want to be sure and say at the end of that, and give this back to me. So if you fill out all 10 names and response. I'm sorry. If you fill this out, all the 10 names, addresses, and phone numbers, and give it to me today, you'll receive the Starbucks gift card. And then I turn the sheet over, and I say, and also, and I'm pointing down towards the bottom where it says there's a little space there for testimonials. And I say, by the way, Mrs. Jones, you had some really nice things to say about our company and our service. If you wouldn't mind writing down a quick testimonial, boy, that would sure help us, you know, in getting new clients. And then I hand them the request form, and I shut up. Play the first one talks, loses game. Any questions on this to this point? Nicole, Rose, Dan?
Nope, I don't have any.
Okay.
Sounds very good.
All right. I can't tell you how many times I have had to wait around while people filled out all 10 names. They dug up their Rolodex, and I'm literally waiting around for them to fill it out. Now, sometimes I'll get none. Sometimes I'll get 10 or anywhere in between. I almost always get a testimonial because, again, it's the guilt thing. You know, you're going to get 9 out of 10 times you're going to get at least a testimonial if you're doing this correctly. Now, I'm able to average 5 to 7 referrals from each job. So, again, this is a skill set, something you're going to work on and that you're going to learn, and you'll get better with time, and it's something you can measure. You can see how many, you know, referrals you're getting. Now let's move on to the next part of this getting the referral program. Let's say Mrs. Jones brings back the request form and she's filled out 4 names. It's very important that you say the following. Wow, Mrs. Jones, thank you so much for those referrals. Who on this list do you know needs flooring right now? And it's so important that you ask that way. Don't say, don't say, does anybody on this list need flooring? Because that's a yes or no question again. It's too easy to say, I don't know. What you want to say is, who on this list do you know that needs flooring right now? And you'll be surprised at how often you hear something like, oh, well, my mother-in-law. In fact, she's been out looking for flooring, and I've already told her about you. I've had that happen so many times. And you say, great, then this is important. You say, great, what would be the best way for us to get in contact with her? Should we call her? And I always give that option. And most of the time, they'll tell you yes. Sometimes they're not real comfortable with it, and that's okay. And you can say, well, so she says, yeah, sure, that would be fine. You're welcome to call her. Say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call on Friday at 10 in the morning and follow up. Could you do me a favor and let her know that I'll be contacting her so she won't think I'm a telemarketer? And again, that's a really important step because you don't want to just call out of the blue and say, hey, you know, this is Rose from GT Flooring, and we just did flooring for your daughter-in-law, and she doesn't know what you're talking about. Okay? If you do it that way, and then on Friday, right before you call the mother-in-law, you call Mrs. Jones back and say, hey, Mrs. Jones, I was just about to call your mother-in-law. Is she expecting my call? Oh, yeah, let her know. She's waiting for you. Okay. And then you call up the mother-in-law. And I've done this so many times where when I reach the person, it's, hey, Jim, how you doing? I was expecting your call. Oh, you know, my daughter-in-law was so happy with her new floors, and we went and saw them last night, and they were so beautiful. I mean, to get that kind of a reception on a cold call, well, it's not even a cold call anymore. Nicole, have you done cold calling where you kind of follow up with cold leads, either you or Rose?
Not really a cold call, no. I've usually talked to them already.
Okay.
Somebody in the store that's been in, and I'm just calling to follow up with them.
In any kind of capacity, any of the three of you, have you ever called people who haven't heard from you before? Ever had
pretty
that
uncomfortable experience?
Mm-hmm. Say that again, Dan.
It's pretty uncomfortable. It's certainly I've had some people give me some referrals that, and I said, you know, what I would really like is, and I say, you know, for my friends to call and introduce me before I call them.
Yep.
And that really does smooth it out, you know, and because, as you mentioned, people don't really have time feel they have time for a telemarketer, and that's essentially what you become. And unless you're pre-introduced, at that point, then you're just a welcome change of pace in the day.
Exactly. I have, by doing that whole process that I just described, I have set up I've gotten referral daisy chains. I think my record is 4, where I had the initial client go through that spiel with them about, you know, who on this list or who do you know that needs, you know, my services right now. Gotten a referral, gotten another referral from that one, and then gotten another referral from that. It's certainly possible to do. Now, what's going to happen is you bring back these referrals back to the store, and everybody on the list is going to be sent the letter to the referrals, and it's in the Rapid Launch program on the Arsenal CD. You can see it's, if anybody that's new, it's in there. It's under the it's in the Rapid Launch program. And basically, you're going to send them the gift certificate from this person, you know, Mrs. Jones, Susan Jones. And so when they open the letter and they're going to see inside, hey, this company sent me a letter from my friend Susan Jones. And at the headline, it says, enclosed is a $200 gift certificate from Susan Jones, right on the headline. Now, you want to send these out as stealth mailers. I'm not going to go into the whole strategy, and you can read the instructions in the Rapid Launch. But it's not something that is you would normally get from a business. Nicole, have you ever gotten a letter from a business sending you a gift certificate in somebody else's, like a friend's name, saying, hey, your friend Julie just sent you a gift certificate for $100 for, you know, roofing company or something?
No, I've only gotten ones that say I have to come in and talk to a certain salesman to redeem my prize, or that's about the only thing I've ever gotten.
Okay. Have any of you ever received a gift certificate from a company linking that gift certificate to one of your friends, somebody you actually know?
Never have, Jim.
Okay.
Never have.
And this isn't going to have that weasel clause that Nicole said, yeah, you got to come in and talk to, you know, one of our salespeople to get your prize or something. This, you're actually going to enclose the gift certificate in the letter, okay? And you're going to hand write out on the gift certificate to, you know, Julie Smith from, you know, Karen Jones. You can actually fill it out. So it really seems personal. And then, of course, on the gift certificate, and you'll read this, there's a minimum purchase amount they have to make. You know, you're not just going to give away $200 free stuff. And we have a whole strategy for, you know, when you send out gift certificates, you know, the minimum purchase and so forth, and absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. But they get a good deal, and it definitely stands out. Now, after you send them that letter, then every one of those people that didn't need flooring right then, the, you know, if you, over the course of a month, Dan, right now, about how many installations per month are you doing?
I'm going to say that we probably are ranging right in the neighborhood of 80 to 90.
That's excellent. Okay. So let's look at the math a little bit differently here. If you do 80, you know, installations a month where you have are able to have contact with the homeowner. And let's
now, I will qualify that. Probably, you know, if you drop down to where it's just homeowners, it probably drops that down to probably 70 to 65, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay, let's call it 65 then. Still works very well. 65, and let's say you're averaging 3 referrals per job, okay? And again, you can get this to where you're averaging 5 to 7 referrals. It's definitely possible to do. There's a skill set here. This takes practice. You've got to memorize your scripts, all that good stuff. But let's call it 3. So 3 referrals. 65 times 3 is 195 referrals per month. By going through that script and saying, who on this list do you know needs flooring right now? That's going to help you identify the 10% or so in there that need flooring right now. So that's, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20 people immediately who need flooring. So let's call it 19 people. That's 10% of them. And if your average ticket is $3,000, that's an additional $57,000 a month, okay, from that kind of volume. And then times 12 months, that's an extra $684,000 per year. Now, again, if that sounds like a crazy, outrageous number, cut it in half. You're still at a third of a million. Just plug in your own numbers in there. Now, the question is, what happens to those other, okay, let's say out of the 195, 19 of them need flooring right now. What about the other 176? Well, they all get plugged into your home advisor. They all get sent the letter to the referrals with the gift certificate, but then you plug them into your home advisor. Now, these are third-party endorsed referred clients, okay? They've all been introduced to your store via the ambassador, okay, that person who's already used your services. This is somebody in their sphere of influence has introduced them to your store. Now, Dan, tell me your thoughts on sending out direct mail and offers and so forth to this 176 people versus just going out and buying a list.
Well, buying a list is at best a crapshoot. You know, you probably have got, I don't know, probably 10 to 15% of the information is bad, and where you're going to have a qualified list, if you will, it's kind of like sending out to past customers. You've got someone that's a bit more predisposed to be receptive to your message.
Yes. So if you've got a small list, I mean, let's say that you're getting 100 of these a month of these referrals. You're adding 1,200 people to your list every year, and you keep them on that list for at least 12 to 24 months, if not longer, marketing to them because, again, they are predisposed to buy from you versus any cold list. And believe me, your competitors are not doing this. Okay.
Well, unfortunately, we haven't been doing a good job of it either, Jim. But
well, hey, that's why you're on the call, and that's why we're all on the call today. Doggone it.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you, I love the Chinese saying, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, and the second best time is today.
That's right. We're planting them today.
There we go. So the whole, let me just summarize everything we've talked about so far. First of all, you're going to do the in-home visit, and you're going to bring your, you know, free gift. You know, you do the movie thing gift basket. You're going to walk them into the referral program by sitting down with them and actually making it an important thing that you put a lot of weight on. You're going to go through the referral request form with them. You're going to wait for them as they fill it out and give it back to you. You're not going to expect them to mail it back to you. You're also going to give them the opportunity to give you a testimonial. Then you're going to ask them who on that list needs flooring right now. Then you're going to follow up with that person who needs flooring right now. All the people who don't need flooring right now on that list, you're going to send them the gift certificate letter and plug them into your Home Advisor newsletter and market to them from anywhere from 12 to 36 months because those people are predisposed to buy from you. All right. Any questions about any part of this?
Well, Jim, the one thing that, you know, that I guess we've ran into in the past has been a time issue, which I think, you know, with having Nicole come into our shop will help smooth that aspect out. But I do know that, you know, after last week's call and talking with, I can't remember her name, but, you know, their challenges, the key is, I think, is finding a way to locate the time to make it out to do that follow-up, because I really see that's key to this whole process. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And the reason it is because this is a profit center, okay? You talk about this isn't just something you do because you need another hobby. this is something that actually can generate a huge, huge amount of money. Okay. Now, go ahead.
You could almost use this as, you know, because we schedule our time out of the store, so hopefully we don't get four people scheduled out at once or gone at once. And so this you almost would look at as equally important as doing the measurements and as the initial home visit, correct?
Yeah, exactly. In other words, somehow you're getting out there and making the time to do the measure. Okay. Well,
right.
Do it with this too. You wouldn't think, oh man, I don't have time to do the measure, and just skip it.
Yeah.
From a financial standpoint, this is as important as the measure. This is a way for you to generate a ton of money without any marketing costs, virtually no marketing costs. The only marketing costs really are the referral reward, and you don't pay for that till you've actually sold a job. So, and then all the other benefits of working with referrals, these are people that are predisposed to work with you, okay? I mean, maybe you've got a big marketing budget and you're spending a lot of money on radio and other things that aren't producing for you. Well, take some of that budget and hire another staff person so you can free up that time for your salespeople. Now, there is a way you can do this by phone, and I want to talk about that, because some people are just in a position where right this second they can't get out there and do it. And I almost hesitate to say to give this technique because I want you to build that time into your schedule and build it into your business. But you can do this by phone. I've done it by phone, and it can work. But, again, it's a skill set. It's something you've got to practice. And so what I do is use this only if you absolutely cannot go visit them in person. And I would recommend setting up a phone appointment, having your you know, project coordinator set up a phone appointment with you, so it's not not seen as an, oh, by the way, I'm just happened to be calling you and hope I'm not interrupting kind of thing. Have your project coordinator schedule, say, you know, something like, okay, Mrs. Jones, your installation is complete, and the next step is I need to schedule a quick 10-minute appointment with Rose so she can go over a few things with you. I've got an opening here on Wednesday at 2 or Friday at 10, which would work for you? And what would be the best number for her to reach you at that time? And set up a phone appointment. And you can also call them cold, you know, just call them and, you know, when you know they'll be home, and you say something like this. Hi, Mrs. Jones, this is Rose, and with GT Flooring, is this a good time to talk for a quick minute? And I always preface that. I always ask people that question. Is this a good time to talk for a quick minute? Because they could be, you know, trying to get dinner on. They could be just rushing out the door, and you don't want to go in. This is too important a conversation to have on the fly. You've got to have their undivided attention. So, assuming that all that, you know, it's a good time to talk. You've gotten a hold of them. So you go through this process. Hi, Mrs. Jones. This is Jim with Jimbo's Floors. Again, is this a good time to talk for a quick minute? Okay, first, how do you like your new floors? Now, this is a chance to find out if there's any problems. In other words, you're going to do everything on this phone call that you would do during the in-home visit. And assuming everything is okay, you say, well, what I'd like to do next is take a minute and tell you about our referral reward program. And I have the referral request form right there, and I read it to her as though I'm sitting with her on her couch and go through it exactly as I did before, except I make one change. I don't tell them about the bonus reward for filling out all 10 names because obviously they're not there to do that. So when I get to the part where it says doing your friends a huge favor, say, you know, you'll be doing your friends a gigantic favor by referring them to a company that they trust. Who is the next person you know who needs flooring right now? Okay. Who is the next person you know who needs flooring right now? You do not want to say, do you know anybody that needs flooring right now? Why don't you want to do that, Rose?
They can say, no, I don't know anybody.
That's right.
Negative answer.
Yeah, so you want to brainstorm with them. And I've actually done this with people. They'll say, you know, I'm not really sure. I'll say, well, let's brainstorm for a minute. Because you've just gotten through telling about all the wonderful things that are going to happen to them and that are going to happen to the people they refer. So it's a win-win-win for everybody. So I feel very comfortable brainstorming with them, saying, well, how about at work? Has anybody at your work talked about needing flooring? Any of your relatives, anybody at church? And I'll actually take a couple of minutes and ask them. When they give you the referral, and you'll get more, I'm telling you, you will get people who give you referrals right over the phone. Say, great, what would be the best way for me to get in contact with this person? Should I call her? And again, the script is exactly the same. You tell them, okay, well, I'm going to call this person, you know, on Friday. Will you do me a favor and let them know ahead of time that I'll be calling so they don't think I'm a telemarketer? So the phone process, to the largest degree possible, you keep it exactly like the in-home visit. And that can be done successfully. Any questions on that part of it?
No, I think that actually in some of the rural markets like ours, that may be a beneficial direction to go, because we have a lot of customers that are 30 to 60 miles from our store and some even further.
Okay.
And I know this morning I sold a job that they're 2,000 miles away, so
you're probably not going to drive over there, huh?
No.
So, again, we have a lot of members who are in rural areas. And that can be good, and there's no reason you couldn't do both. you know, for get into the house as often as you can to do the follow-up visit. But if you just can't, schedule, you know, the follow-up by phone.
Some
and
is
I've done it
than
both
none.
Ways. I've
Jim,
done it
I
both.
Have a quick question.
Yes, go ahead.
As far as the follow-up, that conversation or that call to schedule the in-home, what are you recommending, like the next day after the installation is complete, or within a week, or what?
As soon as they can get you in.
Just kind of.
It,
okay.
It really depends on the client's schedule.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and open up the Q&A queue. Okay, anybody who's on the call, if you've got a question or a story to relate about the referral program, go ahead and press *6 on your phone, and that will put you into the Q&A queue. Again, that's *6, and we'll get you in the queue here. One thing that you can do to really improve the odds of doing it by phone is have a gift pack, and I used to do this in another industry altogether. Is we would say, some of you know, years back I used to be in the mortgage industry, and we used to use a version of the gift basket when somebody closed out a loan or purchased a house. We actually had a box that we would send them that was full of goodies, you know, popcorn and movie candy and all that, with a gift card to a video rental place. And it would say something, you know, like, it was the movie themed gift basket, but in a box. And we would express mail that to them and then call them a day or two after they got it to ask for the referral. And that works because they're going to be thanking you. You're going to have that indebtedness factor. So, again, it the movie-themed gift basket, you don't have to do that, but send them something in the mail. Send them something nice before you call them to ask for the referral. And, again, you're going to have that indebtedness factor working for you. So, Dan... are you guys currently sending out any kind of gifts to your clients after they finish the installation?
Well, you know, Jim, I'm kind of embarrassed about it. No, we're not. We haven't. But we haven't done. You know, we haven't followed up as well as we should have. And you know, like any excuse, they all stink. So.
Well,
kind of like armpits. Everyone's got one. They all stink.
What you're going to notice, Dan, you guys start doing this on every job, and you're going to get known for sending this stuff out, and they're going to tell their friends about it. It's a huge wow factor. People will send you testimonials about the gift, you know, whatever it is you send them. Just make it something fun that the whole family can enjoy.
And I think that, you know, the idea is that you remember them in an atypical way, that it's not the standard that you would expect. I mean, it's so different than anyone else that hopefully we stand heads and tails above the rest. And I mean, there's so many things that we can do as members of the club that we just, even if we grasp 10%, I mean, it'll put us just heads and tails above everyone else in the industry. I completely agree with that, and we're going to give it a renewed commitment.
Well, I totally agree with you, Dan. You know, one of the things not to get discouraged about, we're kind of getting into another subject here, but I think it's worth talking about, is the sheer volume of campaigns and strategies that you're learning about as Inner Circle Club members. It's huge. You could literally spend a year implementing everything if you tried, you know, to do it all. But take these strategies, and my recommendation is pick two or three strategies, get them up and running in your business consistently, and then before moving on to the next one. You know, it's progress, not perfection. Okay? And one of the reasons that I include so many different strategies, by the way, everyone should be doing the design audit and the referral program. They're just too powerful to not do. But a lot of the other strategies I include because some stores may be in a market where one particular strategy works better than another. One approach works better than another. So, again, it gives you a lot to choose from. But the design audit and the referral program, these are universal universal strategies that are going to work anywhere, and it's important that you master them. Now, Dan, can you see how taking time, 30 minutes to an hour a week with your sales team, week in and week out forever, that it would be worth doing that to generate the kind of revenue that we're talking about?
Well, we certainly could, and we've been working actually on this, and this is taking place of our Tuesday afternoon meetings. But and what we're doing is we're working on positive things, not having the Saturday morning butt chewing session, because no one's happy after it anyhow, and they're not positive. We used to have that, by the way, and it wasn't very fun. And I'm not saying that we have to have a fun sales meeting, but I'd rather have a productive and a result-driven meeting than someone getting chewed out about their accounts receivables or whatever's going on. And so definitely, you know, we talked, and we're all a little reluctant about the role-playing and the, you know, that type of thing, but I think that for us to become better at it, we have to fake a few, and I guess that's what it's going to take.
Yeah. I mean, you're among friends.
Exactly.
Know. And, Nicole, how do you feel about role-playing these in front of with the rest of the sales team members, honestly?
Well, I'm pretty uncomfortable with role-playing in general, but, I mean, everybody here, I get along with her a lot. I think it would be fine. We did it. And we can't be interrupted, and the only people that can laugh at me are them. So
There we go. And between these two strategies, I mean, can you see how you can add an extra, you know, minimum 100,000, and as your skill grows, potentially a lot more?
Yes.
So I guess the message I would have for you and everybody listening really is, when it comes to working on these things, get over yourself.
Okay.
We're talking about making a lot of money here, and these two strategies are not something that, Dan, you can't just send out a letter and have this, you know, start working. It's not a marketing strategy per se. It's a sales strategy. And selling is all about developing your skills, being better, you know, improving, sharpening that axe, having that competitive edge. And you do these two things, you know, every week. You guys are meeting to drill and talk about and implement these two strategies. In 90 days, your discomfort is just going to be gone.
I believe that would be accurate.
I remember a little, this is just a personal anecdote. I was part of a business networking group called LATIP, and it's like BNI or some of the other business networking groups, and every week you had to stand up and give a 30-second commercial about your business, and this was a long time ago. And everybody that's listening to me now probably can't imagine me being tongue-tied and feeling awkward in front of a group. But I was scared to death. And I got up and forced myself to do it. We all had to. You had to be part of the club. And it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. Every week, week in and week out, I got up and gave a 30-second commercial. And once a quarter, about once a quarter, each of the business people had to get up and do a 10-minute like commercial about their business, a presentation. Again, scared to death when I first started. Fast forward a year later in the group, and it got to the point where I remember in particular there was a company, a business owner, that was supposed to do their 10-minute presentation, and they weren't there. They didn't show up. And they said, okay, does anyone else want to go? And no one else did, and I just stood up and walked to the front of the room and went for 10 minutes, and I could have gone for an hour if I'd wanted to. It just gets easier and easier. So see this as not just a way to make more money, which that's going to do for you, but as a personal development, you know, getting up in front of people and in your sales team and drilling these things is going to help you in other ways that you hadn't even thought of. Another thing you could do too, Dan, is testimonial contests and referral contests. And during the, you know, to make the meeting fun, like you talked about, is every month have an ongoing contest of some kind. And it's during these meetings that you go over, you know, where's everybody at? You know, it's the first week of the month, second week of the month. Nicole has so many referrals. You know, Rose has so many. Jerry has so many. And, you know, you can make a lot of fun.
Well, the winner can take everyone out for ice cream or something.
Yeah. We want to make it an incentive.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It doesn't look like we have any questions from the group. Any final questions before we wrap it up today or any comments?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again, Dan and Nicole and Rose, for coming on and working with me today. I've put all of you on the spot multiple times, and I appreciate you letting me do that. And for everyone else on the call, until next time, happy marketing. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Goodbye.
Thank you.